It's Thought Leader Thursday. We thought we'd talk a little bit today about commercial real estate. The market's generally going down in the Chicago area. Seen some declines on that. We thought we'd bring in Greg Warsek. He is Senior Vice President and Chicago Market Manager for Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank. And Greg, morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be back.
Let's talk a little bit about some trends that we're seeing. First, commercial property sales. Saw a report in Crane Chicago Business on pace for a three-year low. What's happening?
You know, that article actually surprised me, too, because the market is still feeling pretty strong from where we're sitting. And, you know, talking to a couple of brokers, it sounds like, you know, there's still quite a bit of property on the market. The reality is that the sellers and the buyers are getting further apart. Sellers obviously looking at what they saw in 2015 and 16 in terms of these record sales. And maybe their expectations are a little high. And likewise, the sellers are maybe getting a little more conservative in their underwriting and their bids and maybe sticking to them because we're sort of getting to the top of the market, if you will.
It was a 20% decline from the same period in 2016. That's a pretty sizable number.
It's pretty significant. I mean, I think it was about $10 billion in trades that have closed through year-to-date compared to over $20 billion that have closed the previous 2 years. So that is a pretty significant drop-off.
If you look back to the 2008 crisis, the Great Recession, the numbers are still much better than then.
Yeah, they're still up quite a bit. And actually, if you drill down into those numbers a little bit, there's some more clarity comes from the standpoint of if you look at apartments and industrial, those are actually up. And that's not a surprise based on what we're seeing because those are also two strongest asset classes that we're seeing from a lending perspective. So those are still seeing significant growth. It's the office and hotel that are lagging quite a bit and bringing down that number.
One other story that I saw that I don't know if it is connected to this maybe in some way, but a new report out about retail vacancies in the Chicago area at near a seven-year high up to about 10.5%. Is that connected at all to that others?
You know, definitely in the retail space, I could see an impact there. There's investors are pulling back. We're still seeing decent demand for loan growth on new retail, on infill, pre-leased, smaller strips. Grocery anchored, you know, there's still some expansion that Jewel and Mariano's are looking at. But other than that, it's pretty quiet in the retail space. And the investor market is really starting to pull back and pause, especially when you move outside of metropolitan Chicago area. If you get out into some tertiary markets, it's very difficult to find investors to buy or lenders to lend on those deals.
I know that we've talked about this in the past, but it seems that one of the highlights of the market is that people that own these buildings, the owners of these buildings, are finding unique ways of filling them, maybe not with a retail outlet, but with something like a pop-up store or something.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of different creative ways to fill the space these days, and it's not your traditional retailers. We're seeing a lot more health-related, you know, a lot more athleticos, actual dentists and doctor's office, just less traditional retail users than you've seen in the past.
You mentioned that it might be more difficult for some of the underwriting of this, especially the big properties. And I know this article I found in Crane says in Chicago specifically. How does that work exactly? And what's the fix for that?
You mean from a retail perspective?
Yeah, from a commercial property perspective too. I mean, the refi is harder when it's a larger space, and the current climate is making it harder.
Yeah, I think there's a general sense that there's a pullback in some areas in terms of, you know, users are requiring less space. Retailers are reformulating their whole delivery system from how does it tie in with e-commerce? So there's just so much uncertainty now in the market that it's getting more and more difficult to underwrite these deals.
All of this with the Amazon bid in the background, that's getting a lot of talk recently as we submitted, Chicago submitted, the Chicago area submitted the bid for Amazon's HQ2. Talk to me a little bit about that. I mean, you've seen some of the locations that are in that bid. What do you think the shot is for Chicago? Do we have a chance of that, or what? How do you want to talk about that?
You know, I like to think that we have a very good shot. We definitely check the boxes in terms of what Amazon was looking for. We have a lot of we have several very interesting sites. You know, on the north side downtown, I think we put out some really good examples of where they could execute on their strategy. But I've also seen some of the bids from some of the other competing cities, and they have some compelling offers as well. I think it's going to come down to dollars. It's going to come down to financial incentives, hard dollar incentives, not just tax credits, but, you know, who's got the best financial deal.
Yeah, and so that sort of transitions us into the next story, a thought piece I saw recently about, you know, big commercial developments rejuvenating the places where they go in. And this one story was about how the Austin neighborhood in Chicago might be able to benefit from something like this. I think you saw the piece as well.
I did. It's, you know, commercial real estate has an opportunity to lead when it comes to rejuvenating any area. And certainly HQ2 with Amazon, no matter where they go, it's going to have a prolific effect on anywhere it goes. And it, just for example, if they were to pick that vacant old Brock site in Austin, it would change that city in, you know, forever. I think same thing with some of the opportunities here in Chicago. There's the post office, there's Lincoln Yards. Mm-hmm. If one of those ends up being the winning bid, the ripple effect from, you know, from that investment is going to be unbelievable.
There are limits, I would guess, too, though, right? I mean, as much as we would like to see a silver bullet take care of Austin's problems, the neighborhood's problems, there's a lot going in the opposite direction, isn't there? They've got a big hurdle to get over.
Yeah, there's a lot of communities in Chicago that have cycled. They were very, you know, prosperous areas, and then over time have declined. But there are opportunities for it to come back. One of the things that Austin has is, you know, location, access to communication, access to downtown. I mean, they're just 9 miles west of downtown Chicago, and that close proximity, you know, it has some elements that are pretty compelling, but to actually redevelop and get them back on track, it's gonna need a lot of cohesive support from a grassroots standpoint, community support, community organization support, financial incentives, really from the city to entice a developer to come in, and same for corporate users. You know, one of the examples cited in that article was Pullman, the success of how they turned around the site that they had.
You mentioned the Brock's plant too. When it was, you know, in Austin, I think it had something like 3,500 people that worked there at the heyday of it. That's a huge number of jobs. Amazon wants to bring 50,000. It's hard to even sort of put that in perspective.
That is pretty amazing. But the Amazon requirements are pretty significant, far exceed the 27-acre Brock site that's located in Austin right now. So I don't know that that'd be a target. But certainly that 27 acres is a great, great redevelopment opportunity. I'm not sure that it'll ever bring back that number of jobs unless they can find some users. Mm-hmm. A lot of that type of infill development is frankly, distribution space. It's being developed for last mile, getting Amazon as close as possible to the rooftops.
Yeah, and you know, bring up the number of jobs just to sort of give people size and scale. I think people are familiar too with the Ford plant down on Torrance. A fraction of 50,000 jobs are there. I mean, we're talking a huge economic shot to the community if this thing comes.
Absolutely.
I know you saw this study too about how Chicago's office buildings are in themselves, even with nothing in them, an economic engine, a major economic engine, in addition to the businesses, obviously, that are there doing their own economic prospering. Talk to me a little bit about how these buildings themselves are economic engines.
Yeah, it's actually a very interesting study, and I did read it. It's BOMA, which is the building Building Owners and Managers Association of Chicago, which is it's over 200 buildings in Chicago, commissioned this survey, this study with JLL, and looking at the economic impact of its member buildings on downtown Chicago. And frankly, the survey really doesn't surprise you in its findings. I mean, the contributions are significant. These buildings spend significant amount of money in terms of operating expenses, and it's billions of dollars. Same with the interesting thing in that study, which frankly surprised me, is there's over 13,000 businesses within right. those buildings.
Yeah, 12,733 businesses. That
Amazing.
Surprised me too, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was, 235 member buildings. It shows you that this is an economy onto itself, right? I mean, that's why we watch it and you pay attention to it.
Yeah, it really is. And, it's not too surprising looking at that study that the number of businesses have grown in the city fairly significantly. And, we've talked about it on previous shows. It's the inflow from the suburbs, mm-hmm. All the companies moving downtown to go after the employee base that's down here with the millennials, access to transportation. There's a lot more of the tech jobs coming into the city. Again, same reasons being by the millennials. And then, the survey also alluded to the fact that you have this shared space concept that continues to grow, which is fascinating to me. But again, it's all about incubator space. And there's a lot of growth there on the small business side.
Yeah, one of the other highlights of this business study that I wanted to touch on, shared space is still a growing thing where companies are sharing space in these buildings.
Yeah, I just looked at a separate study in the last week that was similar to this survey, that it's over 2 million square feet now that this shared space concept is now in the buildings, just in the CBD. So it's pretty significant.
Greg, always good to chat with you. We'll see you next time. It'll be the holidays probably the next time you're here.
Look forward to it, Steve.
All right, take care. Greg Worsak is the Senior Vice President and Chicago Market Manager of Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank. In our Thought Leader conversation today, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNRadio.com on the Opening Bell page. Follow Associated Biz Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter, and make sure you head over to AssociatedBank.com/ThoughtLeadership to learn more about our thought leaders and hear more of our conversations there as well.